Be magnified, be glorified by its wisdom. In what manner shall I bring my praises unto thee? Be magnified, be glorified by its wisdom. In what manner shall I bring my praises unto thee? For thou, Lord, most holy, Lord God Almighty, I must bow down on my face whenever I'm in your place. Holy of holies, beautiful mercy.
Our scripture comes from Joshua, 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 17. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edges of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into Jordan ahead of you." And as soon as the priests who carried the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground.
Giving up in by the sun and trembling. I'd like us to share another look at the book of Joshua. If you turn there to Joshua chapter 3, I want us to look at the subject, valiant in the fight. And I know that sounds belligerent, it sounds maybe unchristian to fight. I was always taught not to fight when I was growing up with two brothers and a sister. Sister probably the object of more of our squabbles. But if you lived in a family, you probably heard that. Don't fight. You know, try to solve your problems without fighting. Well, we are called to be in a battle, aren't we? In Ephesians chapter 6, it describes the Christian's warfare. And we're not going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, but we're going to look at Joshua chapter 3. But I think it's a parallel passage to the passage in Ephesians chapter 6. You might want to read these two passages together because I think they're very closely related. Well, I want to share with you this morning another message about how we can be valiant in fight, how we can fight that good fight of faith, as the Bible says, and how we can be victorious over the many enemies to our faith. Now, the Bible makes it clear in that same passage in Ephesians chapter 6 that the enemies that we face are not flesh and blood, but they are principalities and powers of the spiritual realm. So we need to put on that full armor of God. We need also to go forward into battle and not retreat, because a life is a battle. It was a battle for you just to get here this morning, probably, as it is mostly for us, and especially if you have a family. I know that's it can be a struggle. But there are other kinds of problems that we face and things that would try to undo our faith and make our faith weak and keep us from going forward in our lives for Christ. Well, how can we be victorious? Well, I believe we can be if we will take three steps. And if you look with me there at Joshua chapter 3, we're going to look at these 17 verses here. I think that's the whole chapter. But we'll just look at some key places here. But I want you to, if you have your Bibles open there, to leave them open there as we look at the Scriptures together. Well, what is the first step that we need to take if we are to be valiant in the fight and if we are to win the victory that God wants us to have? Doesn't the Bible say that we are more than conquerors through Christ? So if we are more than conquerors, we should not be defeated. We should not be discouraged. We should not be depressed. I know there are going to be times. I think the Savior was even depressed as he faced the cross. I'm sure that's kind of one of those things that it's kind of subjective judgment that you might make. But God doesn't want us to stay in that valley of despond. He wants to lead us on to victory. Now, if the Israelites had wandered around for another 40 years in the desert, I doubt whether there would have been any of them left. There was already a whole generation that died in the wilderness wanderings. So they needed that impetus to go forward. And what gave that to them was, first of all, a visualization. They began to see what God could do. And they began to believe in the leader that God had sent to them. Now, you may know, you may have heard me say last week, if you didn't know before, that Joshua is really the same name as Jesus. It's the Old Testament equivalent, the Hebrew equivalent of the name Jesus. It means Savior. God is salvation. God is my salvation. So here is Jesus, if you will, in the Old Testament. And he is commanding the Israelites to go forward across the Jordan. Now, if you go and visit the Holy Land during the summertime, the peak tourist seasons, that Jordan is just a small stream. But at the time that they crossed it, it was a flooded plain there. The plain of Jordan was flooded. It may have been a mile across. And it was very swift, very dangerous to cross that river. In fact, it couldn't be forded. So we need to keep that in mind as we think about, first of all, the word of visualization. A soldier must learn to listen carefully to instructions. God had some very careful instructions here for the Israelites. It says, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Now, I'm sure someone in that crowd must have thought, follow it where? There's a river before us. Well, we can't go that way. We can't wade through that mighty stream there. Again, it may have been a mile across there. That's a floodplain there at the Jericho. It was obvious that this took faith, isn't it? And isn't that what faith is? It wouldn't take any faith if it was just a little stream that they could hop across. But because of the impossibility of it, it took faith. We have also been given instructions. God says in His Word, blessed is the man or the person who hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. And Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Well, they had been given a commandment. And now the question that each of them had to face was, am I going to obey? Or am I going to go back? I don't even read that there were any deserters here, do you? That there were any who said, well, I'm going to go another way. I'm going to take the bridge. Or I don't think there were any bridges. But there were some, I'm sure, that must have questioned this. But nevertheless, they went because they believed the word. We need also to visualize the work. Before God can do any great work, there has to be a great seeking of Him on the part of God's people. And we read about that and know what happened, what went before this in the wilderness, how God had to raise up a generation that would believe Him and would go forward. And maybe that might not be true of any of us, that we're not willing to go forward with God. Because God dealt very severely with this generation that was in unbelief. They were content to wander around. They were even wanting some of them to go back to Egypt. But now God had raised up a generation that was willing to see what God could do and to believe what God could do and to go forward with God. Now I think that morning they must have looked across the Jordan and the early morning light was falling on that city of Jericho. And they viewed the prospect of the promised land over there and they visualized what God could do. And that spurred them on. That made them want to go forward. John Knox, the Scottish reformer, prevailed in prayer for his spiritually needy country. His prayer was, "Give me Scotland or I die." And God rewarded his earnest prayer with a spiritual rebirth in his land. Well, I think that's what God can do through one person who has a vision of what God wants to do and is willing to claim that vision for Christ. So there's a word here. There's a work visualized. There's a way also visualized. And that way, of course, was forward. Now, I know there was a river in the way, but that's where their faith had to come. The Bible says, when you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And I love the song that says, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." They were down in that plain, and they looked up at the heights of Canaan, and they longed to fulfill what God had called them to do for so many years. I think our church has caught the vision. I believe that we have a band of believers who are willing to follow God, who are willing to follow their Joshua, that is, Jesus, and willing to go to take that step of faith and to claim that promised land, the victory that Jesus has promised to us. But it comes from visualization. It also comes from mobilization. Mobilization means that they got in motion. They mobilized. They're kind of like our armies and our navy and our armed forces, how they have mobilized to go fight a war in Iraq. It takes a lot of planning. That planning means nothing if it's not put in motion. And so we need to put our visualization in motion by mobilizing what God has given us in visualization. Well, first of all, there's a call to mobilization. Now, I don't find that any of the people of Israel here, now maybe they did, and we don't, you know, we can assume that maybe there was someone there that said, "Now wait a minute, Josh, that doesn't make sense to go that way across the river. Well, let's go up the river and see what we can find up there. Let's rethink this whole thing." I don't find that there. No, they obeyed. They obeyed the call. There was a trumpet call that came, and they did as God commanded. Again, this is the difference between a generation of faith and a generation of those who refused to believe. Now, that generation before had all died before they even saw the promised land. Even Moses, the great revered leader of the Israelite nation that led them up out of Egypt, was not allowed to go over the Jordan. I think it was because he represented that other generation. He suffered for their sins. But now a generation had risen up that obeyed the call. And let me ask you, have you heard God's call upon your life? It may not come as a bolt out of the blue or as words that you can audibly hear, but you just know that God has called you to follow Him. And you're willing, like these Israelites, to say, "Well, where, even if it means across that river, I'm going. And nothing's going to hold me back." There was a command in that mobilization. So far as we know, no one stayed behind. No one balked at the water's edge. No one said, "Well, I just my faith is not weak enough." No, I think it was because they saw the faith, first of all, of the priests who went out into the water. And as soon as their feet reached the water's edge, the water stopped, didn't it? And they began to have faith. Now, so those skeptical, those who had tended out, I'm sure there were those who thought, "Well, what's to keep those waters from coming back once we reach the middle of that river?" But no, they all went across. And that's a beautiful picture of God's grace. Those who were weak in the faith, they were carried along by those who were stronger in the faith. And that shows me and teaches me that we need one another, that we need to be a part of a band of believers and to go forward in faith with God. And then there was courage required in that mobilization. The river was at flood stage. No one would attempt to wade through its dark, swirling waters. But the fearful, the Bible says, the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. Now, those are pretty stern words, but what is not mentioned in that is that these were those who did not believe. Who did not believe that God was a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly, the Bible says, above all that we ask or think. But these were willing. These were believing. These took courage, and they went forward. They believed that God would open a path through the waters, just as He had done through the Red Sea. Even though this was a generation that was born, many of them had never even seen the Red Sea. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. This is what faith is. So there's visualization here, the first step. And then mobilization, the second step. And then finally, realization. They found themselves on the other side of Jordan. And don't you know that there was a lot of praising the Lord and a lot of joyful jubilation and singing? They must have had a wonderful meeting there on the other side of the Jordan of victory. But that realization first came because of a venture. We all know the axiom, nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I think Peter is a good example of that. When Peter can be blamed for a lot of things, but he cannot be blamed for a lack of faith. He was with the other disciples in the boat, you'll remember, and Jesus came walking on the water, and everyone else, and probably Peter, thought, it's a ghost, and they were afraid. But then Jesus called out and said, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then Peter said something that I'm sure left the other disciples scratching their heads, probably pointing at him and making motions like, oh. But Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come out of the boat and walk to you on the water. Well, what if it wasn't Jesus? And he said, come. Well, he didn't think of that. But I think because he knew the voice of Jesus. And when Jesus said, come, he stepped out and he walked to Jesus on the water. The only person other than Jesus that we know of that walked on the water. Now, I've heard stories of missionaries that said that that God gave them that miraculous ability. We used to have a pond at our seminary that had a sign posted by it saying, seminary students, please do not walk on water. I never knew of one yet that did. And I even was in that water. I got thrown in when I was engaged to Marlene many years ago. But I went under. And it was cold. I still remember it. That's what faith is. It's that venture. Being willing to venture out on faith as Peter did. And then there's a verity in that faith. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, the scripture says, as they were going, they were healed. As they were going, they were healed. You'll never know what God can do through you until you take that step of faith. And then, finally, it's victory. When they stepped out, when they stepped into that riverbed, they experienced the victory. And I'm sure there was shouting as they went across. And they were praising the Lord. I think it was before they even reached the other side. I think it was even before they left, before the priest even set their foot in the water. And that's really what faith is. Victory in Jesus. Have you experienced it? If you'll walk in the footsteps of our Joshua, our Jesus, and if you'll obey His command, if you will visualize what He wants to do through you, and then if you will mobilize, take that step of faith, finally you will realize what He has promised. He is able also to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ever asked or thought of.